Welcome to the Green Lines Abundant Living Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. This podcast is produced to help guide you to think and live in spiritual abundance. Now, let's join Dr. Steve Green as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit so we might lead others according to God's purpose.
This is Charisma Connection. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm really honored to have someone that I know very well. I've worked with him. He's been my boss. I love him, and I love the university at which he is the president of Oral Roberts University, President Billy Wilson. Dr. Wilson, welcome to the Podcast Network.
Thank you, Dr. Green. Great to be with you. Always appreciate Charisma's work and look forward to sharing today.
Well, we have to start with a topic that's not so exciting, and unfortunately we've been through so much of this at ORU. We've lost some really good students over the years through their mission work. Recently we've lost John Allen Chow, and I know it broke your heart. It's broke the hearts of our readers and many of us who've got ties to ORU knew him. And so tell us in your understanding of the story how we lost John.
Well, Dr. Green, John was a 2014 graduate of Oral Roberts University, a stellar student here, and a stellar person. We've received response from across the university about John. I'll share some of that in a moment. John had a burden since he was in high school, even before he came to ORU, to reach out to the unreached peoples of the earth for Jesus Christ. And really felt called to missions and felt called to go to the most isolated, unreached groups in the world. In his studies, just before ORU and while he was here, John identified what he thought was the most isolated people group in the world related to the gospel of Jesus, and that was the Sentinelese people on North Sentinel Island, which is under the domain of India. It's just off the coast of Thailand, sort of the middle of nowhere in the Bay of Bengal. And John set about, over a course of about 6 years, to make contact in some way with these people. The Indian government has a restriction that it's illegal to go to this island. John tried to work some legal way to do this, but when that was not possible, he went by himself because it was considered very dangerous and tried to reach out to these people. Before that, John had prepared himself in 1,000 different ways. He'd taken vaccinations because the people on the island could be endangered by an outsider, their health, by some disease. So he'd done, I think, about 11 vaccinations. He had isolated himself for several days to make sure he wasn't sick. He had done training in the wilderness in order to help him cope with what it would be like to live on this kind of isolated island. He had done reenactment kinds of things of situations he might face there. He had read over 200 books in the last year alone about mission, about the Sentinelese. He had studied linguistics because no one in the world knows the language of the Sentinelese people except them, and so he was trying to find linguistic patterns to be able to communicate with them, and on it goes. John, according to one friend who's very involved in missions and knew John very, very well, said John was the most prepared missionary he had ever met in the world, and that seems to be true. One humorous story here at ORU, but I think explains the kind of dedication John had. One of his wingmates in the dorm said every morning they would hear John in the shower screaming, and they'd ask him about it. John, why are you screaming? He said, well, I'm taking a cold shower. And they said, John, we have hot water at ORU. You don't have to take a cold shower. He said, I know that, but someday I'm going to be on the mission field. There'll be no warm water, and I want my body to get used to the fact that I need to take a cold shower, even while he was a student here.
That's amazing.
Somewhere on the morning of November 16th, 17th, right in that time frame, John made his final trip to North Sentinel Island. He had made connection a couple of times before. He, the day before, had been shot at. The arrow hit his Bible by a young man he describes as about 10 years old. John then overnight considered, he went back to the boat that was offshore of the North Sentinel Island, considered coming home. But from what we can tell, felt like that he would abort what God had called him to do if he was to leave his mission at the time. And I think John knew that this isolated group, no one had had the courage for several decades to cross over and try to reach them for Christ. And so he knew that if he came home, maybe no one else would go back. And he felt like God had called him to do that. He knew it would mean his death, or could possibly mean his death. And when he went back on that last morning then, it seems from all accounts we can find that John was killed, dragged along the beach, buried by the Sentinelese people, and martyred for his Christian faith and for his attempt to reach this isolated tribe.
Yes, sir.
Been saddened, of course, Dr. Green, by that. It hurts our hearts. At the same time, there is a somewhat of a sense among ORU and our alums of gratitude, and I don't want to use the word pride, but at least a warmth in our hearts to say there was a young man courageous enough that for the love of Jesus alone and the love of the Sentinelese people, he was willing to give his life to try to tell them about Christ.
Yes, sir, and I know you've got the praying hands in the front of campus for Oral Roberts. You've got a plaque there for fallen mission students, and unfortunately we'll be adding that name.
Yes. Sometime in the spring we'll be doing a special service. We call it the Wall of Sacrifice. And it's just a simple honor to those who have given their life around the world in service to Jesus Christ. The last inductee was Miles Monroe, an ORU alum, and his wife, who died in a plane crash going to preach the gospel in Bahamas. So this will be a unique moment and a way to honor John in perpetuity here on campus.
Yes, sir. President Wilson, I also know that you are a pastor, that you have pastored a lot in your background. And so you've had to pastor some students, faculty, staff through this. And you've had a very moving chapel where you dealt with some of this. How have you personally tried to shepherd your campus through this loss?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dr. Green. Obviously, our students shaken, but also shaken in some ways and stirred spiritually in other ways. The vision of ORU given to our founder in the 1960s at a dinner with Pat Robertson, in which Oral wrote the vision on a napkin at dinner, if you can believe it, that's carried the university over 50 years now, was raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is seen dim, my voice is heard small, and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. And then God told Oral, their work will exceed yours, and in this I'll be well pleased. In many ways, John Chow lived out this vision to its fullest. He heard God's voice. He went where the light was dim or not seen at all. The voice of God could not be heard or heard small. And God's healing power wasn't known. And definitely North Sentinel Island is the uttermost bounds of the earth. And so he did what we call our students to do in our vision statement. Now, we've explained to our students, of course, not everybody's going to be called of God to go to an isolated people group on an island in the middle of nowhere.
That's right.
But our students are called to go into dark places, whether that is in Wall Street or in the medical profession or in a courtroom somewhere, or in a school, in an inner city where there's darkness, there's difficulty hearing God's voice, God's healing is not known, and the arrows they will incur are not quite like John got, although they may be to some extent, but they're going to get, you know, verbal arrows thrown at them and have to endure hardship as well to carry out God's word.
That's right.
We talked about that in chapel. Following that chapel, the prayer tower here on campus, which is an iconic symbol at ORU, literally filled up. Of course, you've been here, you know Dr. Green, and students literally filled it up for several hours seeking God about his own call upon their life. And so it was a very inspiring moment where I believe John's death not only will not be in vain in reaching the Sentinelese, and I believe God will use his death to ultimately help reach them, but also to call a new generation of missionary forward into the dark places of the earth to share the light of Jesus. I got a question in class today. I also teach at ORU, reflecting, I think, on John's passing. The question was pretty simple from this generation of young person, and it said, is it possible that God would call you to a place that he knew you would die? Doesn't God want you to be blessed and prosper and all those things? Could he possibly call you to a place that you would die? And the answer, I think, is yes. And we see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. God called him to go to Jerusalem. Paul knew God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. That ultimately led to him going to Rome, which ultimately led to him being beheaded. So, yes. Did God kill John Chow? No. Obviously, an evil world did that and hardened hearts. But God's voice led him to a place where he gave his life for Jesus Christ.
So. That's right. Why don't you share with our audience just a little bit, just briefly, about the kind of training that John would have received as a student at ORU?
Sure. Well, of course, he was a stellar student. He graduated cum laude here. He was a brilliant young man. In fact, the whole family, the Ho Chow family, was sort of an ORU family. His dad graduated from our med school. His mom taught for us for 8 years. Both of his siblings graduated from ORU, and their spouses graduated from ORU, so very much an ORU family.
Sure.
And John was a brilliant young student here, so he got great academic training. John was also involved in our missions program. Every year we have over 500 students that go out in missions around the world. John helped lead a mission team while he was here. Even this past May, John came back as an alum and helped our missions work. They do a ropes course in preparation to go out every summer in May. And so just as early as late as May, he was on campus with us here at ORU helping train students to go out. And then, of course, John was also part of the soccer team. He was manager there. He organized the whole soccer team to go to South Africa on a missions trip and share their faith. He was a dynamic young man. And then beyond that, John also touched a lot of lives just on a personal level. Some of the testimonies have been how John cared for people, how he loved people. He didn't just love the Sentinelese people. He loved people on campus. He reached out to the Burmese community here in Tulsa and helped coordinate outreaches to them, both with soccer and otherwise. So this was a young man really full of God's love and really dedicated to sharing Jesus with whomever he could in any way he could.
Yes, sir. And I know that there's a finality to his life, but yet he lives on. People will be talking about this event for a long time. How do you encapsulize it on your campus now? What do you want students to know to move forward with their studies, to do well on their exams? I think you're probably pretty close to being in finals. What are you saying to them to move on?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we had a really good moment in chapel. It was the last chapel of the year around Christmas. We talked about John's story. We compared it to Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, the missionaries who gave their lives in the Ecuadorian jungle that ultimately led to the Gates of Splendor book, Beyond the Gates of Splendor movie, and End of the Spear movie that many of us have seen. And let them know that John's life will have repercussions for a long time. It's going to be studied, talked about, his method, what he tried to do, his preparation. And they can be proud of one of their alums that probably has become the most famous alumnus of Oral Roberts University in our history. I think more people probably know of John Allen Chow now around the world than any alumnus ever.
Isn't that something?
That's pretty startling, I think, and amazing. And for our students, you know, again, they're going to be called. They are being called.
Sure.
Get ready. Prepare yourself. Do well in your studies. Be at the top of your game. So if you go into the darkness of the business world at some point, you can do so with integrity. You can do so with grace. You can do so filled with the Holy Spirit and being able to bring God's love to people that need it just as much as the people on North Sentinel Island.
So we move forward. We're facing a new semester in January. You've got a new vision, new plans for 2019. Tell me some things that you have on your plate for ORU for the new year and what you see relative to enrollment and new programs. What's exciting that's happening at ORU today?
Yeah, it's a very exciting time, Dr. Green. As you know, we this fall have just completed 10 years of consecutive enrollment growth at ORU, which is we're very grateful for. The university's out of debt. We're in the black. God is blessing us, and we give him all the credit and praise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of neat things are happening on campus. We're building a new residence hall that's sort of apartment style. It'll be our first completed new dorm since 1976 on this campus, so that's quite exciting. We're purchasing a building across the street, which will now house our College of Nursing and our School of Engineering. We have a new Center for Entrepreneurship that is starting up this spring, which we're very excited about. We have great programs, of course, going on. We're growing both on campus and online at the same time, especially globally. ORU is up now to 106 nations within its student population, and that's very exciting
for
us.
Lots of flags.
Yeah, we're very, very diverse, and yes. we like that. We think it's awesome for the students who experience it here at ORU. And then probably the biggest thing going on is we're launching a new visioning project at ORU called Impact 2030. We really feel like God is calling us to sort of lift our eyes to the horizon and ask, how will ORU be impacting the world 10, 11 years from now, by the end of the decade in 2030? And how can we position ourselves in the milieu of higher education, especially private higher education, to be successful, to be differentiated, to be able to cut through, to reach the students around the world that we serve? We believe that God has really called Oral Roberts University to be a servant institution to the Spirit-empowered movement around the world, and not only to be a thought leader, but also a leadership preparation center for that movement in every discipline. And so we'll be positioning ourselves in such a way and pursuing the goals that will hopefully lead to greater impact through thousands and thousands of leaders being produced who can bring God's light to the darkness of the 21st century.
That's so exciting, and it blesses my heart to hear it. And I also know you're involved in many other things. You were a founder, one of the founders, and currently still highly engaged in E21. Now tell me what's up with E21 this year. Where are you going?
Yeah, great. Well, Empower 21 is a relational network that serves the future of Spirit-empowered Christianity. We use that term. You hear me using it quite a bit. It's an umbrella term that includes both Pentecostals and Charismatics and everyone in between. We're just in the midst of a new study with Gordon Conwell's Global Center for Christianity and sort of counting how many of us there are in the world. 2010, there were about 614 million Spirit-empowered believers, Charismatics, Pentecostals. That's now up to 683 million, and estimated by Todd Johnson and our friends at Gordon Conwell, that will be over a billion in the next 30 years. What that means, of course, right now is that one out of every 11 people on planet Earth is either Spirit-filled or attends a Spirit-filled church and claims it as their faith. So very exciting, a lot of new expressions in the movement, and we're trying to serve the future of that movement through Empower 21. We have 14 regional teams now working on the future all over the world. We have a scholars network. We have a discipleship task force, a next-gen leaders network, which is really exciting. In January, they'll have a meeting in Dubai called 40 Under 40, which is bringing together some of the top young leaders in the movement so they can get to know each other now at a young age, begin to relate, begin to pray for one another, form unity that will help the movement in the future. Yes. We also have a big congress down in Latin America this year. It's going to be exciting in Guatemala City, Casa de Dios there, and Cash Luna's building, which is gorgeous, $52 million complex in Guatemala City. So we'll be there in late May and June. And then a lot of things are gearing up for next year. In June 2020, we'll be in Jerusalem.
Yes.
For the next Global Congress for Empower 21, and that's going to be exciting. We'll be there on Pentecost Sunday night and the 3 days following. People will be taking tours of the Holy Land. We'll be in the basketball arena. We were there in 2015, and at that time we had the largest gathering of Christians in modern-day Jerusalem history, and we think we're going to exceed that in 2020. So all of the folks that are listening to this podcast, please go to empower21.com. And you can find out a lot more about Jerusalem 2020 or about Empower 21 and how to get involved in your part in the world. But really, Empower 21 is about unity. It's about the next generation. It's about the Holy Spirit, and it's about world evangelization.
Yes.
And in some ways, John Chow carried out the big, big vision of Empower 21 in a very significant way. And that vision is that every person on earth would have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit by Pentecost 2033. Not that everyone will be saved, but that everyone will have a chance. Now, if that's true, then an isolated tribe like the Sentinelese needed to have some kind of chance to meet a person filled with the Holy Spirit, feel God's presence, hear the name of Jesus, and know that God is real. And we pray that through all that John did in those few days, and by simply giving his life and his corpse now being on that island, that the witness of the Holy Spirit will permeate that tribe, and they'll know that Jesus Christ is real.
President Wilson, what a way to tie that in, and I appreciate it so much. And last question I'm going to ask you, we have to get you to your next meeting, and I promise to end on time. So I just want to ask you as we close, how God is moving in the life of the president of Oral Roberts University. What's God saying to you about the year ahead, about your life ahead? What's God saying to this pastor, this president of a great university?
Yeah. Well, Steve, we are honored to serve as president of ORU, mostly honored and beyond description, I think, to serve this new generation of young leader that is coming on in the kingdom of God. I am so impressed, so blessed, so grateful, and so honored to be serving Gen Z, we call them, this new generation that is rising. They are brilliant, they are gifted, they are committed. I believe they're the greatest generation in the history of the world, and we're going to see that in the days ahead. In my own personal life, of course, I'm just saying, God, just keep helping me stay positioned in such a way that you can bless this university and bless me in the days ahead. We know this, Steve, and that is, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Yeah. And unless he keeps the city, we wake but in vain. So what God's doing at ORU, we give him the credit and the glory, and I'm just honored to be on the bus with a seat to see what God's doing in the world and through this university.
Well, you've left a giant footprint in just really a relative short period of time. You've been an excellent president. And being able to talk with you today is an example of who you are, your heart, and how you feel about your students. So thank you, Dr. Wilson, for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Green. God bless you. And all of our friends at Charisma, please tell everybody hello, okay?
Yes, sir, I'll do that. We've been visiting with Dr. William Wilson. He's the president of ORU. God bless you, President Wilson. God bless ORU. You've been listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. This is Steve Green. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to the Green Lines Podcast. If you would like a copy of Dr. Green's book, Love Leads, visit loveleadsbook.com. To contact Dr. Green, email greenlines@charismamedia.com.